What intrigued you about BIST?
Well, all of our schools in Springfield do PBIS and positive behavior intervention systems, and it works well. But what we were finding for our schools, that the hard to reach kids, those kids that we like to call frequent flyers that are in the office a lot, we were not reaching them through PBIS. BIST is a program that is an immediate intervention for students. PBIS and BIST work very well together. There are a lot of components that are very similar. PBIS is more of a long-term process. You reward students monthly for doing the right thing every day. For those students that are not complying with PBIS, there's a process for dealing with those students through a program we call Check-In and Check-Out. But it's more of a long-term process. With BIST, it's immediate interventions in the classroom.
Is PBIS also used in middle schools?
Yes, both.
Both?
Yes.
So for people who may not have heard about this from their kid, describe what happens immediately with BIST.
Okay, in a typical day, you might be in an English classroom, teacher's teaching, and you have a student who wants to continue to talk while you're teaching. What this program does, it cuts out a lot of dialogue between student and teacher, so the teacher doesn't miss a beat in teaching. And I might say to you, Dusty, I need for you to quit talking. If you cease talking, then there's no problem. The teacher can go on teaching. If you might continue to want to talk or do whatever it is you're being corrected for, we have a process in the classroom called a safe seat, and the teacher would say, Dusty, I need for you to move to the safe seat because you're continuing to talk. So the student complies, they move to a safe seat, which is a seat just on the other side of the room, which removes the student from the group. They take their work there. If they can comply the rest of the period, they sit in that seat. If they can't comply and they keep exhibiting the behavior that they were sent there for, then they are sent to what is called the buddy room. And what this would be is a room, let's say you're in an English class and you're asked to leave the room, somebody would escort you to another room, you would go to another English classroom. And now it's not the room you were in, but you're still hearing English instruction while you're in that room. And so the buddy room would have a seat for you to sit, you go with work, and you're there for the remainder of the period. And if you can do okay there, then you can remain there for the rest of the period. If you cannot, then we have what we call a recovery room, and then you would be escorted to a recovery room where there would be a person in there who would talk to you about your behavior, what it was you did, try to get you back on track quickly so you could get back into class. And so it's a process, and all these steps all the way through. The big component of this is any time a student has to make movement, a parent is called. So the parent is aware of what's going on. So the big component of this, we try to let parents know all the way through this. We're trying to keep your child in class. We're trying to keep your child in school. We're going through the steps in this process to make your students successful.
Okay, I've got a few questions.
Yes.
You said anytime your child is moved, does that mean even to the safe seat, or does that mean to the buddy room?
Buddy room.
Okay.
Or recovery room. And I forgot to mention something. A big part of this, what we're trying to do with both BIST and PBIS, is hold students accountable for their behavior. So let's say they're sent to a buddy room for a particular day. Before they can return to the original classroom from which they were sent, they have to do what we call a reflection, where they write a reflection about what it is they did to get sent out of the buddy room. Before they return, they have to have a conversation with the teacher, and they have to process about, okay, what was the behavior? What might you do the next time in this situation to assure yourself that you're not going to get removed from the room? So it's an accountability piece. It's kind of throwing it back to the student to say to them, okay, you're accountable for this behavior. What are we collectively going to do, or what are you going to do to change this behavior to make sure this doesn't happen again? And we found that this works because it kind of gives the student a chance to reflect about what their behavior was. You know, we found through data, and I know this to be true being in the business a long time, consequences alone or counseling alone does not really change behavior. If a student's suspended for 2 or 3 days, you know, then they come back. If nobody's holding them accountable, if nobody's having a discussion with them about what the behavior was and what they can do to change that behavior or what it is, what replacement behavior they might try the next time that they're in this situation. If you don't have those conversations, then they're probably going to continue to do what they've done.
How much do we pay for this system? And do we also pay for PBIS? Is there a cost associated with those?
The cost associated with PBIS, we do have a PBIS coordinator. That's half of her job. She also deals with our new evaluation system. She's done a lot of training around that. So that's the expense for the PBIS.
What's her name?
Kelly Schultis, S-H-O-L-T-I-S. She's the coordinator of PBIS. The cost for BIST is to bring a trainer in. Now, 2 years ago, that particular board decided they were going to cut funds for the behavior programs, and we just reinstituted it this school year with the trainer coming from Kansas City to train on BIST. So we had a 2-year lapse where we didn't have training.
And it's a 3-day training?
It depends. Sometimes she'll come in for 2 days. This last time she came in October is for 3 days.
And how much does that cost us?
I think it's about, I'm trying to think back to what, I think it's about $1,250 each visit. And that is paid through Title I money. We've had a lot of good data around BIS. The first year that we did it at Jefferson, we cut our referrals to the office by half. We cut our out of school suspensions by half. So it was working for us just because I think of the accountability piece.
The piece where they write the reflection?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Did you read some of those yourself?
The reflections? Uh-huh. I have in the past, yes. You know, it might be something like they're talking in class, they won't stop, they have to be removed. And then once they write the reflection and you kind of see maybe what they've gone through that morning, there might be a situation at home, they might reflect on that, then you can deal with that. The teacher and the student can have a discussion about that. And, you know, let's say a student comes in, you know, the next day and they've had a similar situation, the teacher tries to talk to them about some replacement behaviors. Well, if this has happened, how can you deal with this differently the next time? Or can you tell somebody beforehand that you've had this situation and maybe we could deal with it before class ever starts? So it's mainly just having some dialogue with a student.
Okay. So that's your data for Jefferson, and it's worked well at the other schools too, you think?
Yeah, it has worked well, yes. You know, and I tell people this all the time, behavior programs are, let's say, for instance, math or reading, you have to have professional development around math and reading all the time because there are different techniques that come out or there are things that you want teachers to try with students, so you have to have training. If you have a lack of training around behavior, it's very similar. If you don't have the training, then you start to see behavior fall off again. And so that's kind of why we have sought out money you know, for this training, because it's like anything else, you need to have professional development around it. And as years progress, you have new staff that come in all the time that aren't trained around BIST or PBIS, so you have to make sure those people are trained also.
Do you know of other school districts that use BIST besides Kansas City?
Peoria. Danville has just started it. That's the two other ones in the state that I know of. Lincoln, Nebraska, their entire district does it. We went up there a few years ago for some training in Lincoln, Nebraska, a few of us. So, but that entire district does it.
I read somewhere that under BIST, a student is expected to comply within 2 seconds.
Well, fairly quickly, because what we're trying to cut down on is the dialogue. You know, there's a behavior going on. The last thing we want to do is for a teacher to stop for 3 to 5 minutes and have a conversation about this behavior, because it's taken away from all the other students. So if a teacher asks a student to alter a behavior, if they comply, there's no problem. The teacher can continue to teach. But if they don't comply, we just want there to be very little dialogue. Okay, now I've asked you to do something, now you need to move. You know, you need to move to the next step. And so we're just cutting down on the dialogue.
Okay. So the things that the student might ultimately write in their reflection that says, but this is what happened to me this morning, they can't say that to the teacher at that time. At the time that if in their reflection, if something like something comes out that something in their morning might have influenced their behavior, they can't explain that to the teacher in the moment. They have to
not in the moment, but you also have to understand that the student's not leaving the room at that point. They're still in the room. You know, they're hearing the instruction. At the end of that period, if they've complied with the safe seat, you know, at the end of that period, then they can have a discussion with the teacher about, you know, this went on this morning, and then they can have the discussion, because I think every minute is precious when a teacher's trying to teach. There's a lot of information they need to give to students, and we're just trying to cut down on the amount of time that they have to start and stop within a class period.
Do you ever have a problem with a teacher overusing it?
Yes. I'm going to be honest about it, and as an administrator, because I knew the movement, because I could look at the data every week. I knew who was overusing it, and I would have a discussion with that person. Okay, do you need some additional training here? Is there something we can help you with? See, each school, too, has what they call a BIST vision team, and so they review the data on an ongoing basis, and so I would know, we would know as a vision team where the problem, that's kind of what I was getting at before, where the problem areas are. You know, if you've had, let's say, 30 buddy room movements in this particular week and 15 of them have come from an individual teacher, well, that's an issue. We need to back up here. Okay, do you need some additional training? Do you need some help? Is there something we can do to help you? So we do track that data.
What were you like in middle school or junior high?
What was I like? Mm-hmm. I was very hyperactive as a child. Still am. My wife would tell you I still am as an adult. But I mean, I was a good student, but I was active. But at the same time, I had parents, you know, like a lot of us during that time, is do not let me get a call. And they didn't, because I knew when to stop.
Okay, so were you ever sent out of your classroom or made to move to a different seat or something worse?
I don't ever remember being sent out of a classroom. I'm sure I was moved, because I'm not going to lie about it. I did like to talk, so I'm sure there are times that I had to move seats, but I was never sent out of a classroom, or I don't think my parents ever got a call that I know of, because I knew when to stop.
Okay.